The moment of reckoning has arrived. Dark forces, shrouded in a cloak of goodwill, plot to seize the reins of our existence. It's our turn to rise, decipher their sinister plans and erect an unyielding barricade against their march. This analysis by Dr. Joseph Mercola has been fact-checked. You. Story at a glance: the World Health Organization's upcoming pandemic treaty and the International Health Regulation, IHR, amendments are part of a global, soft coup, to strip nations of their sovereignty and people of their bodily autonomy and freedom. The WHO wants to put into law a requirement that nations must censor their citizens, so that only public health messages aligned with the WHO's recommendations can be shared. The IHR amendments specify that the WHO will dictate which drugs countries must use, and which they cannot, in the event of a pandemic, and possibly outside of pandemics as well. The IHRs have been in existence since 1969, but in the current draft of the IHR amendments, the WHO's recommendations become edicts that must be followed rather than recommendations that nations can ignore at will. The treaty demands the fast tracking of vaccines, along with liability waivers for vaccine manufacturers. The EU, US and CEPI have already proposed a plan to develop vaccines in 100 days. The treaty will apply to all nations that sign on, all the time, even when there are no pandemics. In this interview, board-certified internist and biological warfare epidemiologist Dr. Merrill Nass discusses the dangers posed by the World Health Organization's upcoming pandemic treaty and the International Health Regulation, IHR, amendments. She also wrote about this in a recent article titled, "The WHO's Proposed Treaty Will Increase Man-Made Pandemics." 1. I've been reading the different drafts of the amendments in the pandemic treaty that have been put forward. She says, they're a mix of things, different ideas put forward by the different, member, countries. And then there's a group within the WHO that tries to harmonize them, and also make sure that what the WHO wants is in them. I had finally read through, line by line, the June 2nd, most recent draft of a pandemic treaty, and it had things that were much worse and more explicit in it than before, and I felt compelled to start writing about it. Then, after I'd written a short piece, I realized it was too important and I needed to write a long piece with background and links, and try to get the message out to a lot of people. Because the only reason these documents and the plan, the biosecurity agenda through the pandemic treaty and the international health amendments, have gotten as far as they have is because nobody has read them. People don't understand what the plan is, and may not understand the backstory. Converging agendas with identical goals. It's important to realize that many different aspects of the grand plan are being put into motion by a variety of sectors and globalist organizations at the same time, and while they may appear independent of each other, they're all leading us in the same direction, toward a unified goal, namely the enslavement of mankind and the centralization of control over the world's population. We have development of a new financial apparatus involving the rollout of a central bank digital currency, CBDC, for example. At the same time, the UN also wants into the action. Nass says, it wants to be able to declare global shocks and manage them. And those could be the ones that the WHO wants to manage, which is biological warfare and pandemics that occur in more than one country. So, the UN has listed those two, but also all sorts of other potential global shocks, like climate change, supply chain interruptions, cyber events, and even events in outer space. And they finalize it with black swan events, which means anything the UN wants to designate as a global shock can be one, and then the UN will come out with its management of that event. So, the Secretary General of the UN is asking its members, at the annual meeting of the UN General Assembly, to give it permission to create this global emergencies platform, which will give the Secretary General and the UN authority to manage global shocks. Also at that meeting, the WHO and the UN are coming together to try to divvy up how things are going to go for biological warfare and pandemics that affect more than one country. So, look for information coming out on that on September 20th. Why was the pandemic treaty introduced? The WHO proposed the initial plan to grant itself the power to issue global emergency instructions in 2021. The claim was that nations had handled the COVID pandemic so poorly, we need a centralized organization to manage the next pandemic better. Of course, it was laid out in terms of equity, like the rich countries didn't give the poor countries enough vaccines, etc., and so many people died. What is never said is that, in fact, almost all the countries of the world were following the WHO's guidance, and that is what caused this last pandemic to be so devastating. The economic implications were all as a result of the lockdowns, the resulting supply chain interruptions, the closure of schools, etc. So, although the WHO wants this great power, it hasn't said that it's going to do anything differently. Nobody at the level of the WHO, the UN, or the United States public health authorities or the president has said they did anything wrong. What they want to do is more of the same, and I mean more, lots more. Nass says. WHO wants to be a centralized ruler of all. For example, they want to put into law the requirement that nations must censor their citizens, so that only public health messages aligned with the WHO's recommendations can be shared. Already, YouTube has announced they will henceforth censor all health information that does not conform to the WHO's narrative. But that censorship is nothing compared to what's to come. The amendments to the International Health Regulations, IHRs, also specify that the WHO will dictate which drugs countries must use, and which they cannot, in the event of a pandemic, and possibly outside of pandemics as well. As explained by Nass, the Pandemic Treaty is a completely new document, and each draft has been different than the one before. In the current draft, the Director General of the WHO doesn't even need to declare a pandemic. The Pandemic Treaty will be in effect all the time. The IHRs have been in existence since 1969, but in the current draft of the IHR amendments, the WHO's recommendations become edicts that must be followed rather than recommendations that nations can ignore at will. In their current form, the amendments do require the Director General of the WHO to declare a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, before he can start giving orders, but there are no standards for what a PHEIC is. It could be anything. He would also have the power to declare a potential pandemic, even with limited or no evidence. All vaccines will be fast-tracked and untested. The treaty also demands the fast-tracking of vaccines, along with liability waivers for vaccine manufacturers. According to Nass, the EU, US and CEPI have already proposed a plan to develop vaccines in 100 days and manufacture enough for everyone in the country in another 30 days. It's a completely crazy idea because you don't have time to test the vaccines in human beings if you're developing them in 100 days. Nass says, the COVID vaccines were developed in 326 days. That was the Pfizer vaccine. And the median testing in humans was only 2 months or less. We gave the vaccines to billions of people, and we only found out later what the side effects were. We still don't have a totally clear view of all the side effects and how often they occur, because our countries have hidden the data. Today, when FDA is letting things get through right and left without good tests, still only 29% of the vaccines presented to the FDA are given a license, 71% are rejected. It's hard to make a good vaccine. Many have to be thrown away before you get to a safe and effective one. That is, unless you have a complete waiver of liability, and then you can inject people with anything. And there are no manufacturing standards, no safety standard, no efficacy standard. The only standard is that the FDA commissioner needs to hope that the benefits outweigh the risks. Never-ending pandemics ahead, both the treaty and the IHR amendments require nations to perform extensive biosurveillance, year-round, and perform genomic sequencing on all pathogens collected. Well, if we're testing people, livestock, wild animals, farms and factories all the time, we'll always be able to find pathogens with pandemic potential. So, this will give rise to a never-ending series of pandemic and potential pandemic declarations. Any and all of these declarations could then result in lockdowns and new vaccine requirements. And, importantly, these documents will supersede all domestic laws if implemented, so not even the US Constitution will be able to save us. Door to Freedom. To prevent this nightmare, Nass has founded a new organization called Door to Freedom, doortofreedom.org, which seeks to educate people around the world about what the Pandemic Treaty and IHR amendments are, and how they will change life as we know it, and strip us of every vestige of freedom. Door to Freedom has created a poster to explain the impacts the Pandemic Treaty and IHR amendments will have. Please download this poster and share it with everyone you know. Also put it up on public billboards and places where communities share information. The WHO appears to be nervous about the fact that some of these bits of information are in fact making it into the mainstream. Nass says, and so they themselves have made little short videos with Tedros and other people at the WHO denying that this is a sovereignty grab, claiming that the WHO is not even going to be a party of the treaty, etc. Most of their claims are lies. So, it will be confusing. But the WHO is definitely a party to this treaty. The WHO intends, in the June 2, 2023, version, which is called the Bureau Draft, to take management of certain aspects of pandemic control. Who will vote on the treaty and IHR amendments? The IHR amendments will only require a 50% vote of whoever is in the room at the time of the vote, which will take place at the World Health Assembly's annual meeting in May 2024.2. Countries will then have only 10 months to send a formal opt-out to the WHO if the amendments pass. Barring an opt-out, all countries will then be required to comply with WHO directives. Nations that have not officially opted out will then be bound by the new terms laid out in the amendments. The pandemic treaty will also be voted on during that meeting. It will require 2/3 vote in favor by the members that are in the room and will go into effect 1 month after 30 nations have ratified it. The amendments require an active opt-out, while the treaty requires an active opt-in. Any nation that has not signed the treaty will be excluded from its terms. Those who sign the treaty must wait 3 years before they can get out. That's important to remember, because I don't think too many people want to give the WHO 3 years of directing them how to manage public health emergencies before they can say no. NAS says, it is important to be aware that the treaty will be in force all the time. It won't require a pandemic to give the WHO Director General the power to surveil and censor the entire world, 24/7. Furthermore, as currently drafted, the treaty has essentially blank pages, to be filled in later. New committees will form, and they will determine how the treaty provisions will be carried out and enforced. They can add new provisions too. This is like giving a blank check to the WHO to impose whatever it wants on the world's people. Action items. While the situation seems incredibly bleak, NAS insists there are many things we can do to prevent the WHO's power grab, including the following. Call your congressman or congresswoman and urge them to sponsor H.R. 79, the WHO Withdrawal Act, 3 introduced by Representative Andy Biggs, which calls for defunding and exiting the WHO. At the time of this writing, it has 51 co-sponsors, all of them Republicans. We cannot get this bill passed without Democrats, so we need to get them to understand what's at stake. As noted by NAS, that means 51 congressmen have already been convinced about how bad this is. We the people have to get educated and then push it out to more members of Congress. These provisions are so terrible, if you stand up in front of a room and say, my congresswoman is voting to give away our sovereignty, to have the WHO take away our medications, to transfer our intellectual property to other nations, everyone will say, that person is terrible. So, there's a lot of opportunity to embarrass your members of Congress if they don't understand what this is and vote to get out. I think that's our best bet. The Sovereignty Coalition is making it easier for everyone to make their voices heard. Its Help the House Defund the WHO page will allow you to contact all of your elected representatives with just a few clicks. Simply fill out the required field, click Submit, and your contact information will be used to match you with your elected representatives. Also urge your congressman or congresswoman to sponsor H.R. 1425, 4 which would require the pandemic treaty to be approved by the Senate. It currently has 27 co-sponsors. Call your senator and urge them to sponsor the Senate version of H.R. 1425, which is S-444, the No WHO Pandemic Preparedness Treaty Without Senate Approval Act. 5. It currently has 47 co-sponsors. Share Door to Freedom's educational poster 6 everywhere you can, and direct them to doortofreedom.org for more information. Also share information about the IHR amendments and how they will destroy national sovereignty and increase surveillance and censorship. You can find a quick summary here. In 2021, the U.S. introduced several new amendments that were rejected by other nations, so when it came to a vote in 2022, the U.S. rescinded most of them. If we can make enough noise and get a wellspring of people to push back, saying we will not accept these terms, many of the amendments may simply be withdrawn before they come to a vote in 2024. The WHO is trying to achieve this soft coup on the sly, and exposing how these amendments will eliminate human rights and bodily autonomy, and strip our nation of its sovereignty, will force them to take a step back, because while they are tyrants, they don't want to be identified as such. We must stop the funding of our demise. Also be sure to sign up for Door to Freedom's newsletter so that you can take action when WHO-related bills come up. We need to oppose all funding of the global biosecurity agenda, and Door to Freedom will alert you when it's time to call on your representatives to oppose funding measures that will further the biosecurity agenda. Other newsletters that will help you stay abreast on this issue are Children's Health Defense and Stand for Health Freedom. The U.S. has already contributed money to a financial intermediary fund set up through the WHO and the World Bank. But that fund is still many billions short of what it wants, so the WHO is looking for member states to dramatically increase their contributions. The U.S. also committed $5 billion over 5 years to the global biosecurity agenda when it passed the National Defense Authorization Act in December 2022. So, those contributions are now part of U.S. law, and they're part of Biden's proposed budget for 2024. Another $20 billion in mandated spending by the Department of Health and Human Services has been requested in the President's FY 2024 budget request to Congress for international pandemic preparedness. More money will also be allocated for this purpose by the Departments of Defense and Homeland Security. Additional funds may also be allocated through the State Department, USAID, the Department of Agriculture, and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. In all, the U.S. is already set to spend some $30 billion a year on global pandemic preparedness, and part of that is for surveillance of our social media and the internet, and biosurveillance for pathogens with pandemic potential. It seems that with so much money sloshing around, a large number of vested interests support the WHO plan. However, when we citizens reach out en masse, politicians oftentimes are compelled to appease their constituents, especially when it comes to turning over state and federal authority for health to unelected officials of the WHO, an organization well known for corruption, which unabashedly caters to its biggest donors, particularly Bill Gates. A recent example is offered by NASS. There's a group called the Sovereignty Coalition that we are part of. They have the Align Act software, and this enables people going to their website, with two or three clicks, to send needed messages to the president, your congressmen, senators, governors, etc., and that was used. So, when the funding bill came up a month or two ago for the State Department, and funding for the WHO is in that bill, the Republicans had cut funding in their markup, because we got over 4,000 calls and emails to every member of the committee the night before. So, thanks to that outreach, the State Department Foreign Operations Appropriations Bill draft now has zero funding for the WHO in it. As noted by NASS, now that is extraordinary. I'm sure they're going to try to sneak it in somewhere else, but right now the United States has defunded the WHO in the pending legislation, which needs to be voted on, I believe, by the end of October. Stand for Health Freedom also has something like that, and Children's Health Defense also has Align Act software. So, we can make this happen. When bills are coming up, when important things are happening, we can get out the action alerts and get people to take action. That's already in place. It's tremendously important, and we'll continue to do that. We must connect the dots for people. A common question is who is responsible for this global coup? Also, who's in charge of it? And why are they doing it, exactly? The answer is, we don't know who's doing it. NASS says, but we know there are some very evil, rich people that are part of it. We know that Klaus Schwab is part of their apparatus. We know that the World Economic Forum's young global leaders, that Schwab has raised up for the last 30 years, are a big part of implementing these things in their countries. They're like a large skull and bones club where they work together. They come together for meetings, and their job is to elevate each other into powerful positions in industry and government. So, we have to make people aware of the role of these secret societies, and how they are being used to bring in bad programs. People are already noticing the terrible inflation in the United States, and that's due to the money printing. They had to do the money printing to bribe the schools, the hospitals, the industries, the pharmaceutical makers, and the media in particular, to push this whole pandemic narrative through and make us do what they wanted. Now everybody thinks we're coming up for another pandemic soon. The FDA is pushing out a new COVID vaccine in the middle of September. What are they going to do to us next? Are they going to be able to print money again and dole out $10 trillion of our grandchildren's money? I think people are starting to understand this money printing inflationary spiral, and how it impoverishes us for the benefit of a small group. Those are bits of information. What is needed is connecting the dots. So, in my article, I tried to connect a lot of dots. Everything in our lives is changing at the same time, and people are so confused. We need those who are paying close attention and know how to write to start explaining how these things are connected. We've got 9 months until the WHO will vote on these two documents. At the beginning of May, I was invited to the International COVID Summit at the European Parliament in Brussels, and my talk was on the IHR amendments. I prepared a 10-minute talk, but at the last minute the sponsors said, "Look, you only have 5 minutes because we've run over." So, I'm like, "Oh my God, what do I do?" I looked at my slides. What are the main points? And I gave a 5-minute talk. I thought it must be terrible. Well, somebody made a 3-minute, and somebody made a 4-minute, and a 5-minute little video of it and sent it around on Twitter and TikTok. Now people have added sound and they've added images. The thing has garnered millions of views. It's extraordinary, but it's because I start off saying, we are experiencing a soft coup. This is what's happening. This is what the WHO is doing. And it's so short, people are able to watch it. They see this little old lady who is speaking in a very measured way, and they see the European Parliament insignia behind me, and they're saying, oh my God, maybe this is real. So that little thing has gotten 5 million to 10 million views and TikTokers are now adding to it. So, I think this whole issue of the WHO trying to grab our sovereignty is very meaningful to people. We just have to figure out the right messages, get them out there, and we'll win. Where to learn more? Door to Freedom is unique in that it is trying to introduce these highly complex, interlocking aspects of the global power grab in bite-sized pieces. The website has dozens of short summary articles and videos, with longer in-depth pieces for those who want to dive deeper. We also publish each new draft of the IHR amendments and the treaty as they come out, and I encourage people to have a look at the actual documents. So, to get a good grasp of what's at stake, be sure to bookmark doortofreedom.org, and start sifting through it. Also, share the site with others and encourage them to learn more. We've put up the documents so people can read them. NAS says, we have about 32-minute reads about the documents, about what's going on, about all sorts of things, trying to connect the dots on transhumanism, CBDCs, child sex education. And we have a large number of longer articles about related subjects. So if you go to the site, it will give you an education about the massive global changes that the globalist cabal is bringing forward right now. As we speak, we're in the middle of the coup. The coup isn't next year. It's not when these documents get voted on. We're in the middle of it now. The documents are part of it. Once we've completed everything on the website, we will start building a worldwide coalition of organizations to fight all of this. That's the next step. Children's Health Defense are taking up this issue of the WHO, and there are many other organizations I'm working with. Stand for Health Freedom, organizations in England, in the European Union, and South Africa. We want to then start pushing regular messaging to the world that will be the same everywhere. Education is the answer, because even if we beat back the WHO, if we don't beat back this entire agenda, the globalists will hit us with something else, either through the UN or through other multilateral organizations, or through national laws that are draconian. We must make people understand what's happened over these last few years, where it's coming from, what led up to it and where it's going. And I think that's the best we can do. It's really important that we retain our ethics, our morals. We don't want to manipulate people. We've all been manipulated, we've been mind-controlled. The media, the advertising, the education system have all been trying to limit the way people think. We want you to open your minds, be able to identify propaganda when you see it, so that you can learn to think clearly for yourself. That's when we win. X.